Tonight we're on session 8 of the second the end time study on the second coming of Jesus Christ, part 2. I've parted them out simply because the last time we, in session 7, we saw the second coming of Christ. And I think it's very important that we notice then, pay attention to, what Jesus does when he does come. Now, the last session, as I said, we dealt with him coming, just like he said he would. Now he is here. What is he going to do during this period of time? So we're going to look at the scripture and going through exactly what he is doing. Now, let me remind you something. A lot of the scripture that you will be reading or seeing focuses on the second coming of Christ. Do you remember talking Jesus speaking about when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That statement that he makes, he's the one saying this, that deals with the second coming of Christ. Now, let me think about it this way then, to just give you a little idea about the faith and the second coming of Christ. During the end time, in this period, you will find that faith will wane. Faith will slowly start backing away. Well, now, why is that? For one thing, on the second coming of Christ, one thing is the church is gone. See, we're raptured out before the second coming, and then Christ comes. But there are still people here, of course, have gone through the tribulation, and the faith is there. But will, when the Lord comes, find faith? How do we know that this is the downfall of each group of people, meaning the lack of faith? During the time of Noah, there were 8 people on planet Earth saved. 8 people went on the boat, went on the ark, big boat, called it the ark, went on the ark. 8 out of the whole world wiped out. Remember what took place in with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember, there was only 4, and one of them didn't make it. Got caught up into, she got too salty for her own good. Turn around and look back, meaning her greater desire was to that of the world of Sodom and Gomorrah than the world that Christ had pointed out in front of her. So therefore, during any period of time of the fall of governments, of nations, of worlds, you will always find the waning of faith. Interestingly enough on that, when we're talking about the second coming of Christ, and in those days, the Lord said, the righteous will become more righteous, and the wicked will become more wicked. That is exactly a period of what you're seeing today in our own world setting. You have not witnessed such violence, such viciousness throughout the world. Well, you haven't even in our own communities. Do you know we've had 6 murders out of E-Town since January? And I see all this viciousness going on, but also, there's a lot of folk that have a lot of faith, folks. There's a lot of folks that are believing. So when you see all the evil, you will see others that are standing for faith and ready to die for their faith. Look throughout the other nations, ISIS wanting to decapitate, and yet the Christians refusing to renounce Christ. They're dying. They're letting their heads be cut off because of their faith that Jesus is still Lord. So we're witnessing that today. During the end time, I hear people talk about all the time, do you believe we're living in the end time? You all know how I teach on that. End time began when Christ came as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. That's the beginning of the end of the age. So we've been 2,000 years into this end time now. Is it getting worse? Well, according to Scripture, yes, it is. And according to the signs, we can see it. Okay, when's it going to happen? I don't know. Angels in heaven don't know. What, Jesus, did he not say that he didn't even know? Only the Father in heaven knows? But the key was, be ready, I'm coming. Now, here's a great key for us on this second coming. He says, I'm coming for you. Those of you who have faith. Then many will say, well, you know, I'm really not really that strong in my faith. You're not going to see how strong you are in your faith in the Scripture. Well, a grain of mustard seed is not very much, not very large, is it? And yet you could move a mountain with that. You would see things go on if our faith was just that small. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith and my salvation is in Jesus Christ, not in how much faith that I have. My faith is in who I have my faith in. There's the power of it. I have faith in Christ. I don't have faith in how much faith I have. I'd mess it up. Sure as the world. Or Jesse had put a pie on top of it. We would do anything if we could mess up salvation. I guarantee you would mess it up. But I can't mess it up. Because you see, I didn't earn it. I didn't get educated into it. It's a free gift from God. That's what the second coming's about. I'm coming to get you. And then he expresses his love. The rapture comes. We're up. We're gone with him. Okay, just in case, so you won't feel bad about you missed the rapture, you can't miss it because you get to be here coming or going. So you're going to see it. I know you said that you want to witness it going up. That's none of your business. You see, just be thankful that you're going to get to see it and be a part of that rapture. Now, what will Jesus do when he comes? Remember, we're coming right to the end of the tribulation period. The second coming, Christ is here. During that tribulation period, Israel once again is separated. Israel is drawn, it is blown out. So everybody has been cast out. Jesus has come. And this is what he does when he gets here. First of all, he will defeat the Antichrist and his armies. He will defeat. Not us. Not anyone else. Revelation 19, verses 19 through 21. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. What, the raising of the dead was going on, people. People were amazed. What's got to be the Christ? What were they looking for? They were looking for magic. Not by faith, trusting the Lord, said, don't you worry about it. When I come, you'll know it's me. When all of these other people come and start telling you to go out there and see what he's doing, don't you go. Don't waste your time, because that's not me. I'll let you know. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. That's the tribulation period. That's 7 years. When did it take place? The last 7 years prior to the coming of Christ. Or what, I guess the best way people could refer to that was the final 7 years of the church age, before that age ends. Now, interestingly enough, the church is taken up. But obviously not the concept of the body of Christ taken up, because there are believers left to go through the tribulation period. Well, explain that. I can't. I'll wait until that period of time, and then I'll sit there and pretend like I know then too. We don't know that. I don't understand. It's too deep for me. But by faith, I do know this. The Lord said, trust me, this is the way it's going to happen. So, the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is not hell. This is not hell. This is actually the bottomless pit. I hope I get into that. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came from where? The mouth of the rider on the horse. That sword is the word of God. They're killed by that word. The very word that gives us power and authority now is the very word that is going to destroy the enemy now. You want to conquer your enemy today and the problems of life? Go to the word. The conquering's in the word. The power's in the sword, in the word. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. All the birds were tickled to death to see Jesus coming on the scene. You talk about supper time for them, evidently. But they gorged on him. Now, there's even meaning in all of that. And I really believe the true in-depth meaning on a lot of that, we are not capable of understanding. So I don't confuse myself with it. I just take it as it is. Oh, that's sort of like saying, I take it by faith. You will either accept Jesus by faith or you won't accept Jesus. You will accept what God's going to do in your life by faith. Faith is not knowing. You're not seeing it. Faith is the promise of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? Did I quote that right? Straighten me out if I didn't. Okay. Now, once again, during the tribulation period, Israel will be scattered once again. So the second thing Jesus is going to do, according to Scripture, is he will regather and restore faithful Israel. Romans 11:26-32. Now, when the Lord calls about the faithfulness of his church, doesn't mean that everybody in the church is faithful, but the faithfulness of his church. Not everybody in Israel was faithful. Not all Israelis, not all Jews are religious Jews. Not all church members are believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They're there. Why do you think Jesus said when he comes again, judgment will begin at the house of the Lord? Because, see, you and I have already, we've got our awards, rewards, and all for life and our faith in Christ after the rapture. And so when the Lord comes for judgment, he heads for church. Yes. You talk about sweating. They better have that big podium of mine upstairs to hold on to. You'll be able to talk again in a moment, Paula. Romans 11:26-32. And so all Israel will be saved. These are God's people. Anything going to happen to them, God's going to do it. Don't mess with God's people. The church age. The Christians belong to God. God tells the world, don't mess with my children. Now, so often we think, well, the world has, you know, they've just taken over. No, they haven't. They're getting enough chain to hang themselves. You'll see where that comes in a moment. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. Yes, ma'am.
You're talking about chains of touch the Israelites?
When I say he's giving the world enough chain to hang themselves.
The world.
The world.
Okay.
The world is where the chain is, because what you'll see in a moment is where the angel of God wraps Satan in a chain to throw him in a bottomless pit.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And so he's done the same thing with the world that's attacking the church. They just don't realize that they are bringing judgment on themselves.
Yeah. Okay, well.
By your own actions shall you be judged.
Yeah. Okay, yep. I just misunderstood, yes. And I want to get that straight.
Yep. I guess that was a play on give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves.
Yeah.
He will turn, let's go. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. The world is the enemy of God because of the Christian faith. When the world becomes your enemy because you worship Christ, they become God's enemy. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. I won't get into the election part. When you are saved, you are the elect of God. Got it? You are God's elect. You belong to Him. You're His very own people, chosen by God. You were given the opportunity of salvation, freely accepting Christ, but you're the chosen of God, meaning God knew you were going to. Now, I'll stay away from that, too, to get out of Calvinism and all of this other stuff. People always want to pick parts of Scripture and just piecemeal it. For God's gift and His call are irrevocable. Ha! Okay, I was called to preach, but I lost my calling. No, you didn't, you ornery thing. You just didn't preach. You don't lose a calling. I cannot lose what God has given me. What God has called me to, if I am called by God to preach, God says, don't worry about it, I'll give you the ability to do that. But it is irrevocable. His gift's irrevocable, what He promised me. Whosoever calls on the name shall be Lord, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on the name of the Lord. It's irrevocable. My salvation is irrevocable. I'm saved. Man wants to always be in control. Yes, but you can pull yourself out of your hand. My brother Randy shared that part again this morning, too. No, you can't. You don't have the authority to pull yourself out of his hand. Here's what you do have the authority to do before you say yes to Jesus. You have the right and the freedom to hear the word and then turn away and walk away from the word after you've heard it. But you cannot, let's say my free will, and then I'll walk on eggs here. My free will, when I accepted Jesus, is limited. I only have the freedom. I can only go so far. I can say, Lord, that's fine. I will not preach your word anymore. Yeah, Jeremiah tried that one, right? Gosh, the word of God was so burning so hard down inside of him. He said, it ain't even fair, Lord. Your word has set me on fire from within, and I can't hold it in. Well, shut up and preach then, Jeremiah. Quit whining about it. Just do it. All right. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, and now receive mercy as a result of their disobedience. I saw the Jewish nation fall because they were disobedient. They refused to take God's message to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. God said, take my word to the Gentiles. What are you talking about? Carol McDonald end up in heaven if I take it, and I don't want Carol McDonald in heaven. So we're not going to tell those Gentiles anything. So they kept their mouth shut. And it seems like the church of the 21st century, the professing Christian churches, so many aren't telling the whole story. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People said, that's the simplicity. Well, fine, it's the simplicity of the gospel that confounds the wise. It's too simple. Once a simple for Jesus, should have been there. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. Huh? You know, my Jewish brethren and sister, you are accepting Christ through the same grace and mercy that I accepted Christ by. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. But the thing is, we got to really watch ourselves and our judgment. You see, if somebody has never heard the word preached, how are they going to know the word? How are they going to know the difference between good and evil if they're raised thinking that Christ is evil? It's only by the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that goes in that brings them that conviction. It's from within, and all of a sudden they stop. Wait a minute. Something wrong here. All Christians can't be that bad. But I was raised to believe that all Christians were evil. But that Christian expressed love to me. Now what am I going to do with that? You know what will confound your enemy worse than anything? Love. Love. Gosh, love is a... love really messes your mind up, don't it? Remember when you had that youthful love? That really messes your mind up, people. Still does. Well, why does your wife love you? I don't know. I have no idea. It's got to be through grace or mercy or something. Pity? Carol says it's pity. Got to be. Think of it. All right, page 2. At his second coming, Jesus will fulfill his Father's promise and regather his people for the final time. Okay, Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Now Jesus is talking. Now, the multitudes that are with Jesus are listening. The angelic army, God's army, they're listening. And when the Lord says, bring them in, they bring them in. So there's no power or no authority that's going to keep them from coming in the presence of God. None. He said, bring my children here to me. What's he doing here? Jesus said, I'm here. I'm getting ready to rule here. Now, I want my children back here in my presence. Now, Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Listen to me on that again. Of the earth. This earth. This earth is still here. During all of this, and we're still on this earth. No, the Russians didn't blow it up. No, the Chinese were not smart enough to outsmart God. No, Washington couldn't be as dumb as they are. And all their full stupidity still couldn't destroy God's children and God's world. God said, you don't have that authority. Now, by faith, I believe every bit of that. But by sight, I look at them, man, they got a lot of big bombs. They got a lot of things that go boom and bang. And they got stuff that don't even make a noise and people are dead. They've even got sound waves that ruin their hearing and drive them crazy. Sometimes you can just talk too much and drive somebody nuts with it. Number three, he will resurrect the dead. Okay. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. Let's look at this. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. What do you know this or not? This is talking about us, the church. It's talking about the saints. Yes, this is us. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long? Yes. A reign with Christ is for 1,000 years. Right here during this time period, we are with Christ. Those that went through the hell and lost their heads in the tribulation period because they stood for Christ, Christ is resurrecting them. They're being resurrected now. We get to be there. The judgment is on the world. The judgment is coming on those who have done this to God's children. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, during the teaching, you heard me talk about the first resurrection. First resurrection is Jesus Christ. He's the first to resurrect from the dead. Whoever believes in Christ, whoever accepts Christ, is a part of the first resurrection. So this is not back and doing another first resurrection. This is, we are a part of the first resurrection. Jesus is already resurrected from the grave, but we're a part of the first resurrection because we believe in Jesus, okay? Now, at the end of until 1,000 years is finished, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. I got a part. Might have been a little part. I got a part. Didn't say I had to have a big part. We all got a part. Believers, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, you're a part of that first resurrection. Over such, now I love this one, over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests. Here we are. You ready? Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, during this time, it's 1,000-year millennial time that I'll be getting into the next study. But during this time, when it kicks over to this, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests and priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You will be in your glorified body. We are in our glorified body right here at this time on the second coming because we're coming back with him. Now, the interesting thing on that is being in the glorified body, we are watching everything that's going on, yet it can't affect us. Why not? Because we do not have the human nature. We have the glorified body, the same body that Christ has. We have been given that glorified body, his body, and here we are with him. What are you going to be doing, Larry? I don't know. I'm with him. What do I care? I'm on the right side. I'm with Jesus. And I will be reigning with Jesus. I'll tell you what I'll be doing, Brother Randy. Exactly what he tells me to do. Because the monarchy that I worship has just taken over. Jesus Christ. He is the sole King. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I don't have to worry about this. Everybody's worried about the judge, you know, the great white throne judgment. You're a Christian. Don't worry about that stuff. Is there going to be a great white throne judgment? Sure, but you don't have to sweat it. You're not a part of that judgment.
Will there be, there won't be church services then?
Well, if I see you there, I'm going to hold
there
one.
There's no reason for a church.
No, because there's no, yeah.
No. You got the writer. Right?
You do. Okay. Yes. And not only that, at this point, you've got the glorified body, so you know the word.
Yeah, you'll know it.
Yep. Not only do you know this, remember me when I taught on the books were opened? I don't know why I forgot this, but I'm sure I did because in the middle of the night, I was let know that I forgot a book. And I love the humor of the Lord. At 2 o'clock in the morning is normally when he really gets humorous with me to let me know something. I can't go back to sleep. The books were opened. This is one of the books that was opened, the Bible. I don't remember saying that. I may have, but the Bible is one of the actual books that is opened during that time. The judgment against me or against the lost is going to come from this book. Because this is the book that's open. Wait a minute. I told you this. Right here. Read. I showed it. Well, Larry, I was sitting there watching you read it. Dummy. I told you. So, I'm saved from that. And so are you all. But the thing is that the book of God, God's word, it must be incorporated with any and all books. That's the power is in God's word. That's the double-edged sword is that word. So he opens that book. So no man stands with excuse in front of him. Number four. He will judge the living. This is page 3, right? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. Oh, now, listen to me. He's coming on David's throne. David's throne, Jesus says that He will rule on the throne of David. Throne of David is only on planet Earth. I was reading some the teachers on this, and they were saying, no, well, you see, the throne of David is established in heaven. No, it isn't. What are we talking about? Everybody wants to put the human in charge. It's God. It's Christ. It's His throne. So, let me see if I may have that in here. And all the holy angels are with Him. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire. prepared not for the human race, but for the devil and his angels, those who sinned against God in heaven, kicked out a third of the angels. That's what hell was created for, not for man. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Now, let me give you all a heads up on this. The sick and in prison part, we're talking about church family here, folks. I know that people say, well, Brother Larry, it's what you've done all of these years and all this. Yeah, I have a ministry to the prison systems and all. There were Christians that were thrown in prison that fellow Christians backed away from. Still are to this day. I can't believe you did that. Why? Because you didn't get caught when you did it? So is this horrible? So you stay away? All right. Then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Okay. A lot of things about eternal life.
Doesn't that say, I hate to interrupt, but doesn't that say something about you judge the living? Well, we've done been judged.
We have, but not the living of the second coming. Yeah, no, this is the living that's alive during the second coming of Christ.
Well, we're gone already.
Yeah, we're coming back with Christ. We're there, but we're in a glorified body. Yes.
So that backs up a rapture.
Yes.
For those that don't believe in it.
Yes, correct. Okay. That's correct. It sure does. But those who don't believe in it still won't believe in it. The one thing about the Word of God, by faith and the power of the Word of God comes in to full focus on you trusting and believing what you're reading, not understanding it. And see, once again, it goes back. They said, I didn't believe because this salvation you preach, Larry Vance, it's too simple. And God had warned them. The simplicity of the gospel turned them away. Because, see, man wants to be in charge. I want to be the captain of my ship. That's why your boats keep sinking. Because of who the captain is. You know, I want to be in charge of my life. I will pull my boots up by their bootstraps. Well, no wonder they keep falling down. You're the one pulling them up. Man wants to be in control, and God says as long as you're in control, you're out of control. So, page 4, number 5. He will bind Satan. Here's where the chain comes in, Gene. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Well, now, let me tell you something about that chain. I told you I was going to. You have a lot of teachings today that will say that Satan is bound right now, that he's already bound. And all I can say is I don't think the chain was that long. I mean, what they're got to, but they're wanting to say now that Satan is bound right now, and man, the human race, is sinning because of Satan. You will find during the millennial period, you will find that even under the ultimate and earth at this time, you're talking about the Garden of Eden coming back during that millennial period. You're talking about that Christ is in charge. But you're talking about guidelines. You're talking about laws. You're talking about rules. And God tell them, and you know you'll still have people sinning at that time, and you will have them trying to stir things up or going astray, even during that period of time. Maybe that's where we fall into it, but we'll study about that. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He was not cast into hell here. He was cast into an arena called the bottomless pit. And there's many different ways you can look at that. I'd hate to be falling into a bottomless pit because you never get to hit the bottom. No. And you talk about a roller coaster. Woo! Gosh. Okay. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. All right, how long's a little while? Well, obviously it'd be less than 1,000 years. A little while. I don't know. I mean, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day to the Lord. A little while, meaning a short period of time, he will be released. But it'll be long enough that he will gather an army to such an extent that you can't count them. And this army that he will gather that's been living the good life for 1,000 years are going to gather together to go against Christ. Can you believe that? Huh. Well, okay. Number six.
A couple billion people may be alive.
Oh, at least. Yes, yeah. See, we have no idea because you're talking about 1,000 years of having babies, working, building homes, living a life for a 1,000-year period. They'll just be living it in the realm of the glory of Christ himself.
No,
that's a different age. Remember, we're the church age, so we close out the church age here. Then you go into this age, which we have very little writing on, but I'll be giving it what little we do have to you. Now, out of his mouth, number six, he will establish himself as king. Revelation 19, 15, verses 15, 16. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. This is Jesus. That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron, meaning solid, the word of God. This rod of iron, meaning with solid, firm rule. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. You want to know the wrath of God? Read some in that book called the Bible. You see a whole lot of the wrath of God, the plagues of God and all. So Jesus is coming, and Jesus is in complete control of the wrath of God. Here's something for you. Did you know, Christian, that you will never, ever experience the wrath of God in your life? You can never experience the wrath of God. But the ones who really receive it become numb to life. You and I are going to live forever with Christ. Those who refuse to accept Christ will be alive. Let me go here because we need to understand that. When we're resurrected, we're resurrected and given a glorified body. You got that part? Okay. We're resurrected and given that glorified body. At the resurrection of the lost, they are resurrected in the human body. Yet that human body, which was never created to die, this body was never created to die, but it's because of sin that the body died. Was never created. But those who are resurrected, the evil, the ones who refuse it, will be for everlastingly dying but unable to die in a human body. There's where the pain comes in. Stuck in the body. One great blessing that we have right now that in this physical body, the pain, when it gets so to a point that you don't think you can stand it anymore, one day you won't have to stand it anymore. The lost will have to stand it forever. They'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but they won't even fall on them. They will beg to die, and they can't die. They will live forever, locked in a body of evil. And he had on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm serving the King. I'm serving the Lord of Lords. It's his world. Will this earth completely be devastated one day? Yep. It's going to disappear. But you and I, we're still with the Lord, and we're watching. We're getting to see God bring down a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm talking about the heavens that you see locally here, not the realm of God heaven. Realm of God heaven is never going to leave. But we'll witness that. And there's where you have the different beliefs, whether they be the JWs or whoever they are, that will say that, you know, so many, 144,000 will inherit the earth. Well, they had to change it after more than 144,000 got converted. I don't know where the others are going to live. Anyway, okay, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Daniel 2:44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. The kingdom of God. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Matthew 19:28. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 thrones will represent actually all of Christianity, the church age, Jewish nation included, the church age. Yeah, yeah. You've got to remember, they will be saved by Christ. There's no other name by which you can be saved. The Jews who did not know Jesus, but pointed to the Messiah to come, they were saved because they believed in the Messiah to come. Faith. Yes, yes, by pure faith. And Abraham was an idolater. He lived in idolatry. He was raised in idolatry. God goes to him. Follow me. We'll also see, God picks the leaders. God picks followers. Man don't do that. God does that. Maybe I ought to listen to this before we start that. Okay. Luke 1:31-33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. This is the human throne. This is the throne of David. God said that Jesus would rule, set on the throne of David. The throne of David is on planet Earth, not in heaven. God's throne's in heaven. Okay. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.